Welcome to Limitless, the Bland Beginnings podcast where seeing things differently inspires limitless possibilities. This podcast is being brought to you by Blind Beginnings, an organization based in Vancouver, Canada, that supports children and youth who are blind or partially sighted, along with their families. Limitless was created in order to inform, educate, entertain, and share stories from within the blind and partially sighted community, in order to show the world that the opportunities for those who are blind or partially sighted are truly limitless. And now, it is my pleasure to introduce you to your host, the executive director and founder of Blind Beginnings, Sean Marcellet.
Welcome back to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast. I'm your host, Sean Marcellet, and thank you for joining us for another episode. How do you use a smartphone if you're blind? That is a question that we are often asked, and today we're going to talk about that. But usually the next question that happens is, what type of phone should I get? And I've got several co-hosts with me today to help talk through this question. So welcome to my co-hosts.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
So we have Clement, John, Ishita, and Nika joining us today. And why don't you guys introduce yourselves, tell our listeners a little bit about your vision and which device you use.
I guess I'll go first since I kind of brought this topic up.
Yeah, you did.
So I'm John. My condition is called rod cone retinal dystrophy, and it's mainly affecting how much light comes into my eyes. So that determines how well I see in certain situations. And I guess when it comes to phones, the main thing for me is I just invert the color because there's less light coming into my eyes that way, or less backlight coming to my eyes, and so it's easier for me to read. And I get the device I use is Android phones. Right now, I just got the Galaxy S20, and I'm getting used to that, but we can discuss that as we go.
And I'm Clement. I am totally blind. My condition is called Norrie disease, and my current device that I use is a Samsung Galaxy S10.
Hi, I'm Nika. My visual condition is called Peter's anomaly. I'm partially sighted, and most of the vision is out of my left eye. And I'm currently an iPhone user. Specifically right now, I'm using the iPhone X, but I also recently just ordered the iPhone 12 mini.
Hi, my name is Ishita, and I have a condition called cone rod dystrophy, which primarily affects my central vision. So I am partially sighted. I'm able to see color and shapes fairly well, but I'm not able to see details. And I am a Apple user. I have an iPhone 11, recently just got it, and I use other Apple products as well.
And of course, I'm Sean, and I have retinitis pigmentosa. I have very, very, very low vision, pretty much light perception, maybe a little bit more than that. And I have only, in terms of smartphones, only ever used an Apple phone, and I have, or an iPhone, I guess I should say. And I have the SE, which I think is pretty old, and I'm probably in the market for something new.
So the next one is going to be an Android, right?
That's what this whole podcast is about.
You're going to have to do some serious convincing to get me to change.
Trying to sell stuff right now is what we're doing.
Okay, well, let's get straight into it then. So first of all, before we start talking about the specifics of Apple products and Android-based products, let's talk about some stuff regarding the history of smartphones and accessibility, or cell phones in general. Before phones began to get really smart, there was a specific set of requirements you had to fulfill to make your phone accessible. It had to be a very specific set of phones, most of which were usually hard to get if you were in North America, and they all ran a certain operating system called Symbian. And the phones were primarily manufactured by Nokia, and there was a screen reader called Tox that was used very widely for a few years. You had to pay an extra $300 on top of the phone. And as they got smarter and transitioned to touchscreens, then the issue became, well, what are we going to do? Because there's no more buttons, and Tox doesn't work without buttons. And Apple came out with VoiceOver in 2009 with the iPhone 3GS. And so that was the touchstone of accessibility on a touchscreen-based smartphone. So yes, Apple came out with VoiceOver in 2009, and then Android follows suit. I don't remember what exactly the year was. And fast forward about 11 years, and now we're here, and the two are more or less on equal footing. So let's go straight into it then. Nika, why don't you tell us what your first experience with a cell phone was?
So I was 13 when I got my first iPhone, and it was an iPhone 5S, and I used other Apple products previously, so I was already kind of familiar with VoiceOver.
And how did you find it? Was it easy to learn?
So I found it pretty easy because my first experience with Apple overall was with an iPad, so I was kind of used to playing around with VoiceOver on that.
Right, the only kind
of difference was that an iPhone was just much smaller, but I was already used to kind of the gestures and stuff.
Okay, cool. Ishita, what about you?
So very similar to Nika here. So my first phone, I think I was 15 when I got it, and it was the 5S as well. And I had already learned how to use the accessibility features on an iPad, I believe in grade 6 on the iPad 2. So I was quite familiar with everything, and it was pretty easy to like acclimate to it. So,
you know, this is when you can really tell who's young and who's not, because the young people all got their first phone was an iPhone. And Sean just mentioned that when she got her first cell phone, she could only text on it. And I remember those as well. It was a flip phone, right, Sean? Probably.
It was. No, I couldn't even text. I mean, other people could.
Oh, yeah, that's not you.
I couldn't text.
I mean, you could probably send them. You just couldn't read what people were texting back.
I don't think I could do that. And I couldn't act like, because I remember when I got my Nokia?
Your Nokia, yeah.
With talks.
Yes.
That was like a milestone, mind-blowing that I could actually like look at my contacts and not have to remember every single phone number. Because up until that point, I had to memorize every single phone number, and I would literally, without being able to see the screen, just type in the number and press send and make a call, and I could answer a call. But that's all I could do on this archaic little dinosaur
okay,
phone.
Okay, well,
I think it's kind of funny. Sean got hers in 04. I got my first phone in 05 when I went to high school.
And... oh, thanks for mentioning that and making me feel really old.
these young kids are like, I got the 5S. Well, Clement, do you remember what my phone was called? I just know it flipped.
Your phone was the Nokia 6103, I believe, because yeah, so I had the same one.
Yeah, that's what it was. We were laughing that we had the same phone. But yeah, it was just this old flip phone like Sean had, but I have enough vision. And especially back then, I could read the phone and some of the stuff. So, and like I said earlier, I just flipped the screen contrast, so it was easier for me to read white on black. Mm-hmm. And I did memorize, but even with context, I would still memorize some of the phone numbers. But actually, I also, when I figured out how to text using the phone, I practiced not looking at it. Sometimes you'd get funny texts from me, misspelling, because back then you'd have to...
I mean, we still do.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. What do you mean sometimes?
Sometimes.
Sorry, but back then you had to do it each button had a certain number of letters, and you have to click it a certain number of times to get it.
Yeah, it was like code.
Yeah, but it was fun. But then after that, that was my first one, and so I didn't really have any accessibility things besides the color contrast. Once I did that and set it to large print, it was good enough for me.
Well, I mean, I'm envious because Sean and I didn't even have that as an option. Because obviously the two of us wouldn't care about color contrast. My first cell phone was also in 2004. And it, like I said, it was the same phone as John's. And I learned how to arrow up 4 times to the sound settings and press enter on it, and then go down 1 more and press enter on that just to get to my ringtones. That was the only thing I learned how to do on that phone.
Oh, you just reminded me, because that phone that I had, my ringtone was the theme song to The Muppet Show.
There you go.
And that was the coolest thing about that phone.
Yep.
And again, I'm showing my age, but anyways. Yep.
And that's all right, because I understand that. And the only thing I could do on that phone was also answer and calls. And then when I got my first phone with Talks, and now for some background, can anybody tell me what this is? That, no. For all you young people, is the sound of a flip phone.
I was like, wait.
This is what used to happen when you ended a call with a friend.
And you didn't have to push anything. You literally just slammed the phone on.
Flipped it closed.
It was very satisfying if you were trying to hang up on somebody. Because now what do you do? You just push a button. It's just
very dramatic.
This sound is... It's a timeless sound, folks. One more for... Right. We're done with that now. That was my first accessible phone, also with Talks. And like Sean said, it was completely a game changer because I could actually text people. I could enter things into my contacts. And I mean, well, back then that was about it with smartphones. So, and you know, most of us are now used to this. Hey, tell me the time.
It's 7:18 p.m.
Time was when you had to when you had a specific phone that you could hold the button down and it would say, please say a command. And there were like three things you could tell it. You could tell it to call somebody and then you'd have to specify, or it would just bring up your contacts. You could tell it to send a text message, in which case it would probably bring up your contacts again. So the accessibility was really not there, even though people made voice activation sound like a huge deal back in the day. So fast forward 10 years, I mean, or, you know, maybe more like 15. And here we are with every smartphone now, whether it's an Apple product or from any other company like Google, Samsung, OnePlus, Motorola, Asus, or whoever else makes phones these days, you will have the ability and freedom to choose the phone you want, which for us... was a huge deal when I first realized this, and then my brain went, I don't have to use a specialized blindness product anymore.
My purse was stolen while I was running. This was in 2012, and I lost my Nokia phone with Talks, and I was like really scared of getting an iPhone at the time. That's kind of what everybody had. I just like, what do you mean there's no buttons? I don't know how to do this. And I'm always afraid of new technology. So anyways, I lost my purse. I lost my phone. I lost everything. And thankfully I could just go to the mall, to the Apple store, and buy a phone that talked off the shelf, which was like unheard of.
Yeah. and then when, but, you know, and for a few years, Apple was, you know, kind of the dominant no-brainer if you were a blind person, because no other phones were as accessible as iPhones were. So it was kind of a, you know, it was still a specific phone you had to get, but at least it was now mainstream and you didn't have to import it for $700 from Europe, or, you know, wait for a friend who lived in Europe to, you know, buy you one and ship it over and all of that good stuff. And now here we are. So let's jump into the next part and talk about how each of these different devices work. So who wants to tell us about VoiceOver?
I will, I guess. So VoiceOver is automatically built in on Apple products. You are able to turn it on if you go to settings, and there's an entire section called accessibility, and it's kind of divided in different sections like auditory, visual, and VoiceOver is under the visual. And that's how you turn it on. And it's really cool because it has a little function where you can actually practice doing VoiceOver gestures. That's what I did when I first got my first Apple device, was practice the VoiceOver gestures. And I would say I use VoiceOver most often on a phone, not so much on an iPad, but on a phone I use it probably like 80% of the time, just because it's a smaller screen and I don't want to go through a lot of eye strain.
Okay, so since you use VoiceOver primarily, Ishita, why don't you tell us about the visual side of iOS?
So for the most part, I use Zoom, which is, I believe it's just called Zoom. And like Nico was saying,
not the conferencing system we're using right now, right? Is that what
you're talking about? No, not this Zoom. Okay. Just in the voice. I think it's right under VoiceOver. It says yes. Zoom.
It is.
Cool. So yeah. So basically, essentially, you can turn it on, and there's also like a Zoom control panel that you can control either like split screen Zoom or like certain sections of the screen could be zoomed in. And there's like a double tap with three fingers gesture to turn it on and off, sort of like zoom in and zoom out. I primarily use that, but similar to Nika, I also use VoiceOver on the phone because it's a smaller screen. And I use also select speech. So essentially, if I don't want to use VoiceOver because I'm not in the mood, I basically just select the text that I'm trying to read, and then options show up, you know, when it says copy, cut, look up. There's also, when you scroll down, a speak option. So it speaks out whatever you have selected. So I use that a lot as well.
All right, awesome. So now that we've had the iOS covered, why don't you tell us about both of those aspects, John, because I don't use the visual side.
Okay, well, I guess I'll start with that. So the Android phones also have the same thing as Zoom, or it's also called Magnifier on Android phones. And it does the same thing. If once you open it up, it'll zoom the screen in. You can either set it up half the screen or the full screen, and then you can, almost the same as you can do with the phone cameras, you can pinch the point on the phone, and then you'll zoom in or out. And that's the first part of what I do, is I can read it. I also inverted the colors again because I find it's causes a lot less eye strain. And then after my eye surgery, I can't actually read things. Before, I didn't even need to use the Zoom to read my phone. I would just set everything to large print. But now I actually do use the Zoom. And then after my surgery, I turned on the VoiceOver or TalkBack, because there seems to be two versions for Android, and they kind of flip-flop every couple of phones or so. I don't really understand it myself, but it reads out most of the stuff on screens. And as the phones have gotten better, it reads more and more and can actually tell you what is in most pictures, like if it's a food picture or if there's people and if stuff like that. And so I kind of use a mix of both. If it's a long paragraph or something in a read, I can let the phone do it. And if there's something I want to just go back over real quick, I can zoom in and read it that way.
Okay, very cool. Sean, any thoughts? How do you tell us how to use VoiceOver? What are the gestures like?
Well, I guess an important point is that when VoiceOver is on, the phone doesn't respond the same way that it does when VoiceOver is on.
I'm sure we've had multiple instances of sighted people trying to use our phones and not.
Exactly.
Knowing how.
It's very, very funny, actually, when my husband's trying to help me with something on my phone and he tries to just tap it and nothing happens and he gets frustrated. And
why is this working?
But it's got this cool feature where you can triple tap the home button, which my phone still has a home button, to turn VoiceOver on and off. So it toggles really easily, and then he can do whatever he wants and then give it back to me.
And on a newer phone, just to interject, if you have a phone that's newer, it is the side button. So the power button that's on the side of your phone.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, your phone still has a home button. That's archaic.
I know. And an earphone jack.
And a
as
headphone
well.
Jack. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It's very old.
Going back to the Stone Age here.
Hey, I just went a four-generation phone jump from an S7 to an S20, and I was like, okay, how do I do this stuff now?
Yeah. So to add a little bit to that, I guess, for me, so VoiceOver and TalkBack are two different screen readers. VoiceOver is used on iOS. TalkBack is on Android. And specifically for Samsung phones like John and mine, there is an additional version of the screen reader called Voice Assistant, which is what Samsung has developed. So Android actually has two screen readers, and you can choose.
Can you? Because I gotta figure that Apple, out.
Yes, you can. Whereas Apple and iOS uses primarily and only VoiceOver. So the way these two both work, Sean mentioned they respond differently when you have them on. Exploration and finding things on your screen can be either done by doing it the same way as you would if you could see. So you put your finger on the screen and run it around the screen and see what's there. The difference is when you land on something, if you are using one of these screen readers, the icon or the button or whatever you have will not activate. You have to tap it twice. in order to make it work. And that's what's, you know, that's what Sean was referring to when she said that sometimes people just tap something and assume it's going to work and it doesn't, and they get frustrated. And on TalkBack, it's much the same. So you use your finger to scroll, or on both systems, you can use left and right flicking motions on the screen to do the same thing, to move backwards and forwards, and it just goes one thing at a time or one icon at a time, and then you can double tap whenever you feel like.
I was just thinking about Siri. I don't know if the voice assistant is similar to Siri.
Yes, it is.
If it's kind of the same idea. But what's funny, because sometimes I will dictate my emails or my text messages, but I always read it back one word at a time, because I've had a lot of instances where I've sent a text that said something that wasn't quite what I meant to say, because when you dictate, it doesn't always come out exactly what how you wanted it to.
Right. Oh, so voice
shots at me.
So yeah, dictation for texting has always been one of the interesting challenges for both iOS and Android, just because text recognition from speech input is still, it's not in its infancy anymore, but you know, it's still not as well refined as something that's been around a lot longer, like typing. And so yeah, there are instances where if you say a word a certain way, or if you have a certain accent, or if you enunciate something in an unusual way, then Siri or Google Assistant or Bixby, which is the Samsung equivalent to Siri, will enter it wrong. And so, as Sean said, most of us would go through one word at a time just to make sure that we're not sending anything accidental. Because as funny as that is with your friends, because they'll tease you about it, it's not fun to send something that you did not intend to send in a work email.
It also spells my name. Like if I say, hi, it's Sean, it spells it S-E-A-N.
Yes.
And so I don't need to perpetuate the wrong spelling of my name.
So it's always better to check. Now that we've talked about the basics of both, I guess let's talk about why each of us prefers what we are currently using.
Well, I'll go first because I feel like it's really simple and straightforward for me. It's at the time, it was really my only option. And because I'm afraid of trying new technology, the learning curve for me is steep to begin with. So if I'm going to go through all of that to learn how to use an iPhone, I'm not likely to change direction a couple years down the road and be faced with trying to learn something else.
Yeah.
And for me, like just having access to a smartphone with like some of the amazing apps that are available and just the convenience of everything on one device. Just being able to do all the things that I can do with it is like, I don't need anything more than that. So I'm very happy.
I'd say I kind of agree, just because I've been using Apple products for 10 years and it's kind of like this, you know, safe little bubble I've been in. And I think a lot of the stuff they come out with is super innovative. And for me, I'm okay with kind of having all the built-in features. I'm not really the type of person who likes playing around with customization options. That's just not really kind of the person I am. And as much as it isn't ultimately the most important thing for me, I do take aesthetics in mind, and I do like, you know, like the fun colors that an iPhone comes in, and I like the shiny like Apple logo at the back, and I like the kind of sleek design of it as well.
Well, it's funny you mentioned design, because now smartphones are actually starting to look very similar, and that's what I told a friend of this a while ago. I remember when every cell phone you picked up would look different, it would feel different, and that was super cool. You know, just for all the nerds who are going to be listening, they can appreciate that. Whereas every phone nowadays just basically looks like a slab of metal and glass. And it's kind of a little boring, actually.
It's more about your phone case.
Yes. That's very true. Nowadays, it's more about your phone cases, and, you know, some of us have anime cases.
I didn't just order one. Not talking.
Someone has an Attack on Titan case.
Someone's waving it around right now as we speak.
And some of us have more protective cases that are less aesthetically pleasing and more, you know, about durability because we are rough with our phones and things like that. But so, yeah, design is an interesting factor for sure when anybody's choosing a phone. But it is interesting to note that tactile, iOS and Android phones are starting to feel very, very similar.
Well, and this whole bigger is better thing, like I don't like the size of the phones, which is why I have an SE.
That's why I specifically got the iPhone 12 mini, just because I miss the size of like the SE that you have, Sean, or the 5S. Like, that's the type of phone I like.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I like that they came out with a smaller option.
Is that one the same size, the mini?
I don't remember, because I don't remember what the 5S size was.
I believe it's the same size as the iPhone 6. So it's a bit bigger. It's a couple inches, but not big. Not like big. Off the podcast record, Sean. I don't think it's like the kind of big you're talking about.
Like, okay, yeah,
not like,
it's not like half an iPad big.
Right. So those of you who are low vision, who are using magnification, do you prefer a bigger phone?
Not really, just because I use an iPad for that if I need something bigger, and on the phone if I do something visually, I only use Zoom for, let's say, if I'm reading a quick text or if I'm looking for a contact name to call, or if I'm like on Netflix or Disney Plus watching something. So the eye strain doesn't really exist then, because I'm only using Zoom for maybe a couple seconds at a time, so it's not really that big of a deal that the screen is smaller.
Yeah, for me, I'm on the opposite, and I do like the bigger screens. I think I may use Zoom a lot more than you, Nika. So I like having a bigger screen because for me, it reduces the eye strain. I don't use VoiceOver all that often. I would say mainly for text, and I would say like WhatsApp, because that one's kind of hard to use like select speech on, and for certain apps. So personally, and I think it's also easier to find. I lose my phone a lot. So if I kind of just see it somewhere, I know it's there because it's a lot bigger for me to find. So I would say I do like the bigger screens.
When I first got the S7, it was quite a bit bigger than what I had before. I think it was the S4, and I dropped that thing so many times because it was just bigger. And yeah, I'm like, now looking at it, it's not that big really, but getting used to it, and so I'm like, I'm purposely not getting anything plus. It's just like, I want a standard phone, and it's like, if it can't fit in my jeans pocket, how am I supposed to carry this thing around?
Exactly. And I mean, I carry my phone around the house all the time, listening to podcasts or audiobooks, and it, if it's like, I just don't even know how that's practical if it's like this massive phone.
And even with my vision, like before I had to use VoiceOver, I could have it to a setting where it's like I can read it fine with my nose right up against it. And now it's like I'm just using VoiceOver for reading things all the time. And if I want to watch something, it's big enough and I can get close enough. It's like whatever to me. And I'm not going to. And if it just needs to be real quick, just use Zoom and read it real quick. But yeah, I'm using for someone like me who has quite a bit of vision, I'm using the VoiceOver to read a lot of stuff now.
I love how we're all complaining about the sizes of phones nowadays, and the grandparents are probably like, you know what? You should have seen when cell phones first came out.
Oh, yeah.
You needed a bag to carry those things.
Well, they were really chunky.
You know, the kind of thing where like the battery itself was as big as probably like an iPhone SE is now. So, aesthetics and size factor in a lot when it comes to preferences. So for myself, I was initially an iPhone user. I had an iPhone 4S. Does anybody remember those?
I had a 4S too before my SE.
Yeah. Sean and I are on the same page about a lot of this.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Until you went Android.
Until I went to the dark side, because they had cookies, and that's not a joke, because Android names all their versions after desserts.
Really?
Yes, they do. I believe my first phone was running Android Marshmallow.
Okay, I might switch to Android just for that.
I know, I'm tempted.
And then I went to Nougat and Oreo and Pie.
Do they have cheesecake?
No.
Hey, Jelly Bellies?
I just found my S2.
They did have jelly bean, yes.
Oh, cool.
And ice cream sandwich was the one before. So anyway.
Oh, I remember that.
yes. So those are, so I was an iPhone user initially, and then I used Apple products for about 5 years. And what actually triggered my switch was the fact that the headphone jack was going away.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't happy with the iPhone 7 when it came out because there was no headphone jack. And my best headphones are still, to this day, wired ones. And I decided, well, I don't know if I really want to get the next phone if it doesn't have a headphone jack. And because I'd been hearing rumors about Android being better now than it used to be than the first time I tried it when it was a horrible mess and I didn't enjoy it at all. And I decided to switch to the Samsung Galaxy S8 because I went on a gamble. And it turned out to be worth it for me. Now, of course, when it comes to preferences, everyone's going to be different. And this is what I've always said, is that whatever you feel more comfortable with, so in for some cases, if you've been using Apple products forever, stick with Apple products, because if they work for you, then go with them. I picked Android primarily because I don't like to have to use iTunes. I've never enjoyed iTunes. I've never enjoyed the fact that you had to... I mean, now we have cloud storage for everything, so you don't have to do that anymore. But there was a time back when I was switching between the two when if you wanted to put music on your phone, it had to go through iTunes. With Android, it works as a USB drive. You can just plug it in, copy and paste, do your thing, and it works. And the other thing that's related with in terms of storage is that Android phones, a lot of the time, depending on the company that makes them, will have expandable storage. So you can put an SD card in there and make your phone bigger, which is, I mean, not, you know, not magically make it bigger, but, you know, give it more storage and more room to put things. So there are many reasons and preferences. And I'm sure if we sat here, we could go through a few more. And why don't we do that? What are some other reasons why people prefer what they've chosen?
Well, I think another reason for me is at least it used to be this way, that there will always be blind people that have iPhones that I can ask for help mm-hmm. when I get stuck.
Yeah. and that's a very fair one. I think, you know, it's easier to learn something new when you know you have people who you can fall back on and call and say, hey, I don't know how this works. Show me. And time was, Android wasn't up to par. And so the majority, probably 80 to 90% of people who are visually impaired or blind use iPhones. Now it's not quite the same anymore. So now because things are more even in terms of accessibility, and also because Android is the operating system that still holds the lower budget to mid-range phone market. Apple, of course, has been making flagships forever and are kind of just starting to expand into mid-range phones now. But even their mid-range phones sometimes are usually the same price as most other expensive phones from the bigger companies. So with Android, you can get a phone, if you want a cheap one, you can get one for $200.
Oh, wow.
And so that'll, you know, for a lot of people, especially in, you know, developing nations around the world, and for other visually impaired people who don't maybe have as good an income, those are better options. And so those will be people who will be willing to go that route because to them, it's financial stability or it's saving a buck here and there that encourages them to switch. But yes, that is a very good reason to stick with Apple, because there is a huge pool of information out there, and there's definitely no end to people who are willing to help and show you the ropes.
Sort of going back to what we were asking about, why we're kind of sticking with what we are, I would say for me, it's Apple creates an ecosystem mm-hmm. with a lot of their products. So for me, I mostly use the iPad. I would say that's the most used device that I use every day, mainly for school, but also for entertainment. And I think just the way that they connect, like the devices connect amongst you, like with each other, it's very easy, very convenient. I think even like when you're switching from an old phone to a new phone, or old iPad to a new iPad, they just do like the automatic backup. Whereas before, I think that you had to, like I used to, back everything up on my laptop and then transfer it all over, and they've gotten rid of that whole thing now. So, and also like while I'm working, say I have the Notes app, I type a paragraph on my Notes app, and then I have to go somewhere and I have to refer to it back, and I can just check on my phone because it automatically transfers over. So I would say that's a really big reason why I'm sticking with Apple, and I have stuck with Apple for a long time.
Yeah.
Ooh, also like FaceTime and being able to iMessage people who also have Apple without needing data is kind of cool.
That is very cool. And with terms of ecosystems now, the thing is now every company basically has their own ecosystem. Which is, you know, that's both good and bad because it allows for more competition. But of course, it also makes the choice harder because now the same reasons that a lot of that have kind of already been given for people using iOS products can also apply to Android. And as although FaceTime and iMessaging are definitely still very big draws for lots of people. But of course, the counter argument from a lot of Android users, not including myself, because I understand not everybody works this way, is that now most plans come with free texting to a certain extent anyway. And because there are so many alternative apps for doing that, like Messenger, like WhatsApp, like Viber, like Google Duo or anything of that sort. But
do they have video and audio though?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Video, like it's pretty standard now, I would say, for any chat app to have both audio and video options. But of course, on the other hand, if you do not want to fiddle with multiple apps, and just want to stick with the easiest one that's already there, then iOS will definitely be a winner. Because and FaceTime think, like, and iOS is built in.
I have a friend who has an iPod Touch, and with her parents, like they're super strict, so she's not allowed to get any other external talking apps. So yeah. The only way to basically communicate with her is like iMessage.
Right, right, and that would make perfect sense. And that's something that sighted people have to deal with as well. If someone is using a Mac primarily at work, Apple would make more sense. But if somebody is not constrained by anything, then the sky's the limit. So it's definitely a very complex, it's a lot more gray now, I would say, than it used to be, which is a good thing because you can never have too many options.
What about like if you have an iOS phone, but you have a PC with JAWS and you want to take stuff off your phone and put it like say your photos or something, you want, I don't know, like that is not as seamless, right?
Yes, because again, like I said, you have to use iTunes, although now you can use iCloud and you can transfer them over more seamlessly than it used to be. But I love the fact that and this is where I think Android will always have an edge, at least in my book, whenever I take a new video, I can go into my Android the same way I would access a USB drive, find my video, copy it, and paste it, and I'm done. There's no external software that's needed. There's nothing needed other than what my computer can already do. But yes, it is more seamless now with iOS than it used to be before.
One thing I'm kind of curious about is, so I tend to I'm not like the most tech savvy, but generally if something messes up, like an iPad glitches out or something, you know, you would talk to Apple support. And it's quite easy, I feel like, you know, there's someone there in the Genius Bar on the phone that you can call and they can access your iPad from like their own device and they can look at everything that way. Is there like an equivalent of that for Android device? Or do you just have to like go to the carrier, go to the store? Is there something like that is equivalent there?
Yeah, so that would depend entirely on the company you go with. So if you go with Google, they'll have their own kind of support team. If you go with Samsung, they'll have their own support team. If you go with Motorola, they'll have their own support team. So everywhere does provide support. Now, having said that, the advantage of Apple is that because everything is standardized, you don't have to research who to go to for support. With Android, because of different companies and differing hardware information and stuff like that, there may be multiple solutions. So the short answer is yes, but the long answer is that it's a little complicated.
Yeah. So I was like kind of curious, like for individuals who are blind, is there like a more, I was thinking Apple would be a little bit more seamless because, you know who to contact and they can help you. You don't have to leave the house necessarily and they can help you over the phone.
That's,
so
that's very true as well, because Apple is also, because they are one company, all their accessibility standards are also known to all their employees. Well, at least mostly known to their employees. So when you call Apple, if you say, I'm having a voiceover problem, the chances are the genius on the other phone, that's not a pun, although that could have been, the genius who is going to help you out on the phone is going to probably be aware of what voiceover is. Whereas if you call Samsung and say, hey, I have an issue with accessibility, and it's with TalkBack, they might look at you and go, I don't know what that is. So Apple does have, like I said earlier, a more established presence for sure when it comes to people with users who have disabilities of, you know, multiple different kinds, not just visual impairments.
I have a question just going back to the whole headphone jack. Is that still like, I might have the last phone that has one, and I'm just wondering, when I do get a new phone, I have to say goodbye, don't I?
Yes, you do. If you stick with iOS.
It's tragic.
Dun, dun, dun.
So I just got my new phone. I'm not sure when this started. They do provide you with headphones.
Yes.
Yeah,
but it takes the charging port. So you just kind of plug it. It is kind of, and you can't listen on your wired headset plus charging.
With that, I would say is you can get them pretty cheaply. It's like a splitter. So you put it in your phone and then you can, it has like two different ports coming out of it. So you can charge, listen at the same time. Mm-hmm. Also, if you're like into that thing, there's also like AirPods, and I really, really like them. And I think, I don't know, they look really sleek and like really cool.
Yeah.
I got some knockoff ones and I can't figure them out. I don't know how to stop and start or do anything. And I'm just super frustrated, as I always am with new technology.
Yeah. So. But I think all of us feel that frustration to at least some degree, even if some people enjoy, you know, kind of the trek into the jungle more than other people do.
Oh, so once I got this phone, I'm still trying to get used to certain things. And I'm like, oh boy, it's going to be a bit before I'm fully aware again.
Yeah. So Sean, I guess the answer is you don't really have to say goodbye yet. You just have to find the correct replacement.
I don't usually listen while I'm charging anyway, so that's okay.
Yeah. So it's not a super huge deal.
Yeah.
And you can also get like, I still use the wired ones, but I've gotten used to not ear pods, but they're wireless headphones. But I made sure to get the ones that, so that the buds are connected to each other and I can hook them over my ears, so I don't need to use both. So it's like I can have one in one ear and still use my other ear.
Yes.
Got some buttons on it.
I have both. I have the ones that are just kind of like the AirPods, just go in your ear. I tend to lose them a lot.
I feel like they're going to fall out and I'm going to have to find them. And one blind friend looked 30 minutes on the ground. He circled the same area like a bunch of times and people were walking by and asking. It's like, nope, still couldn't find it.
Yeah. So the pro of the advantage to lower mid-range Android phones, aside from them being cheaper, is that most of them haven't caught on to the headphone jack trend yet. So most of them still have them. Which is very nice. There again is preference, because I personally prefer not to have to carry around an extra bit of wire, because that adapter can be lost just as easily as any set of AirPods. Depending on the user and what you prefer, if you have one pair of headphones, you can always keep that adapter attached to. That's great.
That's what I do.
For some of us who are in a little bit of excess, we have multiple pairs. And so the choice is either to take the adapter off, connect it to a different pair every time, or shell out money for enough adapters to have, two or three of them.
First world problems.
Yes, yes, indeed. First world problems, indeed.
I don't have enough adapters.
I don't have enough headphones.
Can I add like a quick, like, I don't know, money saving tip?
Sure. Let's talk about money.
Yeah. So this is actually something I recently discovered when I was ordering my phone online. And that was, apparently you can trade in your old phone to get money off.
Ah, there you are.
So I was
depending
able to
on
get
how old it is.
Yeah, and if it's working. And each phone is different. Like my specific phone, like I was able to get $300 off my phone. So I was able to get my new phone for only $750.
Huh.
Now the devil's advocate in me wants to say, yeah, but I can get a mid-range Android phone with similar specs for three.
I'm guessing they're not going to take much money off for my old 4S.
Probably not.
Yours, I looked, so yours isn't even listed. They only go lowest to an iPhone S. Actually, wait, no, yeah, an SE is the lowest, but okay. Not a 4S.
I do have the SE also. I could trade
I think
them both.
I looked up how much my iPhone 6 still works. I can still use it, but I looked up how much it would trade for, and it was like $50. So
Yeah.
Mine, when I was getting mine, I think my 7 Plus was about 100 and something. So
yeah.
It's pretty good. But again, it also depends the what condition your phone's in, if it's working. And I don't know if different places have it different priced. I don't know, but I think if you kind of call different places, not just from Apple, like the people who, you know, like those mobile shops,
yep,
I think they also have different prices for it. So you
carriers have different,
yeah,
carriers
that's
have different prices.
Do like Android, do Android brands also kind of have the same, like if you trade in your phone, you get,
well, see again, now that again, because, and that is where it gets complicated with Android, because you have to do your research, because it depends on your company, which company you choose. So if you go to Samsung, they will have a trade-in policy. If you have Google, they will have a trade-in policy. If you have a phone that's from Motorola, they will have a different trade-in policy. Of course, the nice thing is that whether it's Apple or Samsung, your carrier will probably have a trade-in policy if you want to get a new phone. So you don't always have to go directly to the company themselves.
I guess another thought is, I know with the Apple Store, you can go in and, you know, touch all the stuff, yep, right? You can feel how big or small or sleek or not or yep, whatever. How does it work with Android? Can you go check out all the different options? I mean, I know it's all the different companies, so I feel like that would be harder.
Well, the nice thing also about Android is that because they're different companies, they're not all carried at one store. So you can find Android phones from multiple companies in one Best Buy.
Right. Okay.
Or one mobile carrier store. If you go into like a Rogers store or a Bell store, or a
yeah, they're all just
store,
like sitting there right beside
they
each other.
They are all sitting there. So now, of course, those also include Apple products. So it's a great. I'd actually, for those of you, for people who are prospective buyers, I would recommend you go to somewhere that's not a specific company store, because then you can get a chance to sit down and play with multiple phones from multiple different companies, which will make the it might make your buying choice more complicated, or it might help. So that all depends on the type of person you are. So I would say that, yeah, it's very nice to have everything standardized, because it makes you have a one-stop shop, literally, for everything, for support. If you want to look at new products, if you want to buy accessories, you can get everything from an Apple store. Whereas with Android, it's a little bit more, like I said, like a Safari, where you kind of have to find the right thing. And then, you know, there's a billion and a half different choices. You just have to find the one that you like. Whereas with Apple, sure, there's less choice. But at the same time, that makes it easier because it gives you less of a headache.
Also, like, just for me, like, I'm going to expose myself, but I do not like to do my research, at least when it comes to technology. I just, right, yeah,
okay,
I'm lazy.
So I'm curious then, I guess we could have a couple more questions, but one that I want to ask everyone, what would it take for you to switch?
They would have to no longer make an iPhone.
Ah, that is a very simple and succinct answer, Sean. I love it.
But when you said that that the iPhone is still sort of the dominant phone for people who are blind or partially sighted. That was pretty much it for me. I was like, yep, then I'm definitely sticking with it.
I'm just like, I've had Android. Once we came out of the flip phone age, I just went straight to Androids. And I was like, why am I going to bother learning the other one? And I also don't want to spend the money.
Okay.
That's a fair point. Learn new
moves. I'm already having enough problems learning the upgraded versions. I was like, how am I going to go over there? I already have problems using an iPad by itself. That's why I stopped using. I just use laptops. I don't care. I'm just as bad at technology as Sean sometimes.
For me, I guess, I'm not like a hardcore Apple fan, like all the Apple all the way kind of person. I guess for me, it's the tablet. So if I can find a tablet that is better than the iPad that I like better, I think maybe then I might switch, but I don't see it happening anytime soon because I'm in university and I use it like all the time. Yeah. But I will
say, you're a broke university student too, right?
Very true. So it's kind of hard to like switch everything out. I think it's, like I said, you're in the ecosystem. It's good to stay in at least for now. Mm-hmm. But I will say I do love the variability with Android. Like you were saying, Clement, like my brother had an Android phone a long time ago fairly recently. And like he could switch out his ringtones for different people. So when I would call him, he would have a different song. And when my mom would call, he'll have a different song. So when, again, if he's not around and I hear a certain phone, like a call coming in, I could tell him who it is without even looking at it. So I love that. I thought that was awesome. And I thought it'd be so helpful for me too, if I had that, like I could just hear the ringtone and be like, oh, Clement's calling. Oh,
you can do that. Because the iPhone does have that.
Yeah.
Oh, it does. Yes, no, it does. I mean, it was like very personalized songs, like my favorite song.
Yeah, you can do that. The process of creating ringtones on the iPhone is a little bit more involved than on an Android.
Yeah, that's what I said. It was quite difficult. So maybe you can help me out with that.
Yeah.
But it was quite easy when he did it, and when I actually did it on my phone, it was a more difficult process. So I think one day if I want to, you know, take a gander, try it out, I might, but I think I'm just going to stick with Apple.
Yep. No, that's a very fair way of, I love all three of your answers because they range from the simplest, if they stop making iPhones, I'll switch, to I don't really feel one way or the other. And, you know, if I have a good reason to try it, I will. And I would say, you know, the same is for me. I'm much closer to Ishita in the sense that I'm very happy with what I'm using right now. What would it take for me to switch back to iOS? If they allowed copy and paste onto your phone directly without having to go through software, if they ever made expandable memory possible, and if they brought back the headphone jack. But we know one of those things that at least will probably never happen. So I'll say if I get 2 out of 3.
I'm trying to think. I think for me, I am kind of pretty hardcore Apple fan. I mean, Android is kind of intriguing me with their whole dessert thing. Like, that's kind of already causing me to
that's the reason Nika would switch.
But
if a dessert came around that she liked.
Yeah, like if cheesecake, I'll switch. But in all seriousness, I think it would be cool if I could maybe somehow, if I could have the opportunity to get, let's say, a free Galaxy phone, and then I could keep my iPhone, so then use my iPhone, like, you know, functionally, so I don't have to give it up, and then play with the Samsung phone at the same time.
That's a very reasonable.
Yeah, because then I don't want to like be thrown into the whole thing.
Yeah, totally. So you can kind of have it around to play with, you know, like a 21st century toy.
That's kind of funny you say that, because that's what I'm using my old S7 still. I'm just like, if something's too hard, I'm like, okay, I'm going back to use my S7 to go onto Facebook. If it's everything I've transferred over that has to be used on the new phones, like, okay, but if I don't, I'm
going back. That's another thing you were saying, like with you not wanting to switch to Apple for one reason being like you're already having difficulty learning things. It's kind of like one more extra thing to add on to everything you have to do in the day.
Well, I think this has been very informative, and hopefully some of our listeners learned something as well, and maybe we'll have converted some people
to one way or the other.
Yeah.
whichever side you end up swaying towards.
Yes. But I guess at the end of the day, both work quite well as far as accessibility is concerned, which is really amazing for all of us.
And it's, you know what? And for me, on an empowerment note, it is very empowering to realize that I can choose the same phones as everybody around.
I can
have the same choice in phones as my family. I can have the same choice as in phones as my friends. Literally, there is no phone that is not usable anymore.
Yeah, which
is fantastic, because I don't like to, you know, I really did not like when iPhones first came out. I did not like being the only one who still had a candy bar phone or a flip phone. So,
yes,
it's a very refreshing change, and it definitely shows us how much closer to inclusivity we are.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, thanks, you guys. Thanks for being here today and sharing your wisdom.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast. I'm your host, Sean Marcellet. If you have a question or a topic idea, please send us an email to limitless@blindbeginnings.ca. And please join us again next time.
This podcast has been brought to you by Blind Beginnings, an organization based in Vancouver, Canada, that supports children and youth who are blind or partially sighted, along with their families. Music for this podcast is composed by Sean Bishop and Clement Chow. Production and audio editing by Rob Minot. For more information about Blind Beginnings and the work it does to support children and youth who are blind and partially sighted, along with their families, visit us on the web at www.blindbeginnings.ca, and also remember to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next time.